Center City Planning Board Meeting, November 28th, 2022.
Wedding down in the...
Oh, yeah. We are. Oh, yeah. We got five. No, sound thrilled.
Which is good ones to be, yeah.
List rents above, Daniel Nett.
That's it.
Okay, see if we can have another member.
That was it. I'd like to welcome everybody this evening. We, the Ventnor Planning Board is now in session with the November 28th, 2022 meeting. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will our Board Administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Landgraf?
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zavi Hutch?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Peter Tucko?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin, Lorraine Salata, Mike Wiesen, Greer Gaskell, Wendy Bartlett, and Don Sigley.
Okay, this, we go next to the adoption of minutes from the November 9th meeting. Everyone reviewed a copy, and are there any amendments or changes to said minutes? Hearing no requests or seeing no answer, may I have a motion and adoption for the adoption? And a second.
Make the motion, adopt.
Second. Second, please. So move. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Abstain.
And we have Commissioner Landgraf has abstained. And the ayes have it. Our minutes are hereby adopted. We have tonight, there are no resolutions that are being adopted. They'll go right into the applications. The application order has been changed slightly. The first case this evening will be 6 South Hillside Avenue. The next case will be 110 South Surrey Avenue. And then the final case, 7318-20 Ventnor Avenue. So at this time, we'll proceed ahead with 6 Hillside Avenue.
And Mr. Learn, I just want...
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, board members. Michael Learn, law firm. McCallaghan Thompson, appearing on behalf of...
Mike, I just want to address one thing administratively.
Sure.
Fran, on you're the third application. We have 7 board members here. The 2 commissioners can't sit on your application, and it's one of those applications where you're going to need 5 votes. You're going to basically need 5 of 5. So that might be something you want to talk to your client about while we proceed. There's a number of people aren't here tonight. And then you want to discuss that, you know, you wouldn't, if you, we usually offer people the full opportunity to get like a full 7-member board. It's up to you. I can certainly make it, and you won't have to renotice or anything like that, but it's just, I want to point that out now instead of you sitting around for an hour and then me telling you that, so. All right.
Okay. Do you want to do a preamble on this?
Sure.
All right, I'll give
Mike, we'll have everybody sworn first, and then, Roger will do a preamble on it, and then you will continue with your whole case.
Fine. Thank you.
All right. So, anybody need
my forward? Client, Mr. Steve Promislo, is with us tonight. You'd be my only witness.
Okay.
Mr. Sworn now.
Mr. Promislo, just your name and address for the record, and I'll get you sworn in.
Steve Promislo, 6 South.
You're going to have to speak up, Steve.
Yeah, you're going to have to speak in front of the microphone.
Okay. Apologize. I'm Steve Promislo, 6 South Hillside, Ventnor, New Jersey, 08 4.
Okay, and please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth?
Yes.
Thanks.
And we'll have Roger McLaren is sworn in at this time also.
Sure. Mr. McLaren, do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Right. And Roger will read his report of the record, kind of give a preamble, set the stage, and then you'll proceed.
Thank you.
Roger, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the application of Steve and Jenny Farmisalo at 6 South Hillside Avenue, Block 52, Lot 10, engineering planning report seeking C variances. It's located within the commercial mixed-use district, also within a northeast redevelopment zone, which overrides the other underlying zoning requirements. So this could be deemed a hardship variance as well as a substantial benefit variance, basically, because even though it's not a corner lot, it has two front yards and two side yards. Materials reviewed on bottom of page one, continued on page two. Then I indicate, I include the northeast Ventnor redevelopment plan zoning requirements for this particular zone, and you'll see that front yard, minimum front yard setback is 0 feet for this zone. So the two front yards are 0 feet. However, I think it's prudent for the board to look at this application as of the intent of a fence anywhere where we require, the zoning requirements are maximum height of 4 feet and 50% open, whereas they are proposing a 5-foot-high fence that's solid in nature. So there's the variance, two variances. One is the height of a fence of 5 feet where 4 feet's required, and the other one is solid fence where 50% open is required. Even though the ordinance says 0-foot setback for the front yard setbacks, again, I just want to say that based on the integrity of the ordinance and integrity of the intent of fences and walls, I think it's prudent for the board to hear this as a variance application just in case there's any issues. So that concludes my report.
Thank you. Mr. Warren, it's all yours.
I would concur with Mr. McLernan's report and his opinions. First of all, I just want to establish all jurisdictional requirements have been met, and I do have some return receipt letters that I can submit to the board secretary indicating that they were either undeliverable or refused. What precipitated the application is my client went in to get a building permit to build a fence and spoke with Mr. Agnesino. And Mr. Agnesino opined at that time, he thought that the lot in question fell within the R2 zone, and therefore the applicable requirements for front yard and side yard and rear yard setbacks would require with respect to fencing. That's how we filed, why we filed the application and why you see it presented as is. Subsequently, Mr. McLernan has notified me, and he's correct, that this lot, my client's lot, and I'll ask my client to film the tripod on this. Incidentally, what I've taken is, this is a blown-up city tax map, which I have marked, taken the liberty of marking applicant's exhibit A1 with today's date. All right. This shows the site in question. This is unit block 52 between Hillside and Frankfurt Avenue. Also critical for your analysis tonight is unit block 53 between Frankfurt and Wayman because of the nature of this neighborhood. I don't know if it's unique to Ventnor, but it's certainly different than the average Ventnor layout and building. The CMU zone, the commercial mixed-use zone, goes right along here, and that's where the boundary is. This becomes the R2, and I think that's where the issue came with Mr. Agnesino. My preference, and I concur with Mr. McLernan, and I think Mr. Manos agrees with this, the cleanest way to do this, and rather than rely on that there's no zero setback, is the board hear the application. I think that this is, the board is going to see the reasons that we want, what we want to do, and it's fully justified given the nature of the property and what the applicant intends to do. So that's how I want to proceed. And I'm assuming the board wants that too, and that way, assuming an approval, the client can go back to Mr. Agnesino with a written approval from the board saying, this is what the board has reviewed and approved, and this is how I, what I'm permitted to do, however the board wants to couch whatever relief that we're seeking. Again, now what, again, looking at A1, what is interesting about these two properties, and I know the board is aware of this, unit block 53
between Frankford and Weymouth and Hillside and Frankford. All the homes on unit block 52, where my client resides, they're all street-to-street properties, with the exception of the two properties on Atlantic Avenue, which front Atlantic Avenue. What is characteristic of all the homes on this block is that every single one of these blocks, every single one of these homes, the frontage is off a hillside with the rear or driveways or rear property lines all fronting on Frankford Avenue. The same is exactly true of unit block 53. All the homes on unit block 53 front Weymouth Avenue, and all the front doors are on Weymouth Avenue, again, with the rear parking areas, the rear yards, all, again, Frankford Avenue. So Frankford Avenue is consistently a rear yard, which makes sense for any development, for any of the unit owners, to approach it from that point of view. What is also interesting with respect to my client's property and the property right next door, lot 9, is those are the only two properties on between Hillside and Frankford which actually have gardens, yards that go from one street to the other street, with, you know, and are used as yards. All the other properties on both unit block 52 and unit block 53, the structures cover the entire properties. So what my client is going to be testifying to is, one, why he wants to do what he wants to do, what he wants to preserve, and why he is sensitive to the fact that you have to lob off one lock up, you have the potential, this on front of Ventnor Avenue is vacant now. I believe it used to be the buildings, but I think, and I may be wrong on this, that the intent is to create parking for the commercial area there, which would make sense, would be consistent. But my client, in light of that, since he has a residential home, it's sensitive to the high volume of traffic, both vehicular and particularly pedestrian, that the commercial district is going to generate. Now, my client, by occupation, happens to be a commercial developer. So he's pro-commercial development, but he's also sensitive of the impact that that can happen. Now, let me flip this over. Pizzinelli, I know I haven't been sworn. What I'm doing is bordering on testimony. I'm going to have my client verify everything that I'm saying. Or if you want to swear me, that's fine too, Mr. Monis. Now, what I've done is, if you apply the ordinance the way it says, you can have a four-foot fence by right in the front yards, and since it's a block-to-block property, even though it's not a corner, you can have 4 foot here. You could have 6 foot along the sides, 6 foot if it was a traditional rear yard, a 6 foot high fence, 6 foot high fence. This is an interior line, so I believe this could be 6 feet without. What I've done is I've highlighted in red where if you were building a 6 foot high fence, these portions alone would have to drop down to 4 feet. We're not requesting 6 feet, we're requesting a consistently high 5 foot fence to replace the existing aged, it's not in bad shape, I mean it's not rotted out, but it's rusted chain link fence with a white lattice fence, solid fence, again for the reasons that my client's going to testify to. But one of the reasons I highlighted this is to show this is the area where the variance that we're seeking is really applicable. Everything else, they could build the fence at 5 feet, no problem whatsoever. All right, now I have one further exhibit which I'm going to give to you at the outset. We submitted a series of photographs with our application. I'm going to supplement that with photos that have been taken by my client in anticipation of tonight's hearing, and which I have marked applicant's exhibit A3. I would ask
these around. Was A2 that survey that you drew and read on?
Yeah. The blown-up city tax map is A1. A2 is the blown-up survey.
Gotcha.
Of the property.
Thank you.
Now, incidentally, so the record's clear.
Thanks.
This survey shows a structure which is no longer on there. There was a metal shed shown on the survey. That's no longer there, and I'll have my client testify to that. The A3 is a series of five photographs taken by my client showing the property from Frankfurt Avenue, exactly where we're proposing the garden in question. All right, Mr. Vermeislo, when did you and your wife acquire the property in question?
July 1st, 2021.
And is this, and you use this as a residential property, is this correct?
Correct.
Is this a second home, first home, primary home? What is it for you?
It's a second home.
A second home. So it's summer, weekends, et cetera?
Yeah, we spend our time probably 50-50 between Philadelphia and here.
Why did you buy this house?
We loved it. In particular, we loved the yard. It was, it's a funny story, but we even came down not intending to buy a home, but to look around, and fell in love and bought it that day.
So is it fair to say that part of the selling property is the fact that this home had a yard?
Absolutely. We love the yard.
All right, now, what do you propose to do with this property? What's your future plans overall?
We're planning on improving it in certain situations like this, but plan on living here for a long, long time and spending more time here as time goes on. We're actually opening a business in Margate next summer and plan on spending more and more time, and less time in Philadelphia, more time in Ventnor.
And why are you removing the existing chain link fence and proposing to put in the five-foot white lattice fence, solid white lattice fence?
A couple of reasons. Cosmetically, I just think it would look nicer, but more importantly for us, as you pointed out, there's a lot of commercial activity there, which we love, between the Wawa and Nookies, but there's also a lot of traffic that goes by. We have two dogs that love spending time in the yard, and they flip out as all the people come by, so just for an added level of privacy.
And the on your site, you have existing trees within the property itself. You have a tree on the governor's strip along the curb.
Mm-hmm.
A nice substantial tree. And you also have a tree within the fence, one or two trees within the fence. What is your intent with respect to those trees?
We're not touching any of the trees in any way.
Okay.
I mean, we love them.
So this application boils down to simply taking the existing chain link fence where it is, taking it out, replacing it exactly with, I believe the existing chain link is 4 feet?
Correct.
With a five-foot fence in the exact perimeter where the existing chain link fence is.
That's correct.
It's that simple, nothing more?
No other changes.
That would be my application. You heard me make a presentation about the nature of the neighborhood, the rear yards, how they all front on Frankfurt Avenue, be they on the Weymouth block or the Hillside block. You've walked the neighborhood, sir.
Oh, sure.
Is that consistent with what I've stated?
I believe that that's completely accurate, that it's all rear yards for both Weymouth and...
And from where your home is located, there is nothing between you, I'm referring to applicants as A1. Lot 10 fronts this big vacant lot, which is going to be developed commercially, one way or the other.
Yes.
And the Wawa.
Correct.
So there's nothing between you and the Wawa at all?
No, you can see the Wawa from our backyard.
Okay. And on this side of the street, it's all residential?
Correct.
So basically, the privacy buffer that you want is critical off of Frankfurt Avenue?
Yes, very much so for us.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to belabor this, but I think the application speaks for itself. The nature of Frankfurt Avenue, it's consistently rear yard type development. It is immediately adjacent to a commercial district, which, thank goodness, is becoming a very vibrant commercial district. The resulting traffic that's being generated, a residential home would want some privacy barrier, but the applicant's not asking for an arm and a leg, you know, a six-foot-high fence or something. Something five-foot, tasteful, allows a measure of privacy without impacting adversely the adjacent neighborhood, and in fact, two doors down, there's the exact same fence in the long rear fronting Frankfurt Avenue that we're proposing. Solid. Now, the only difference on that one is that there's a landscaping buffer strip in front of that fence with some foliage. We would request that the board not do that, require that, because that would require ripping out the existing tree, which we don't want to remove. So you have existing substantial foliage and vegetation there, which we would not want to adversely impact. So again, it's consistent with the neighborhood scheme. You have development there. The applicant is making reasonable efforts to buttress himself from. And I think this board can grant the relief we're seeking under the flexible C, where the benefits to be derived by the variance would not adversely impact upon the land use ordinance, nor have a detrimental impact upon the neighborhood. That's it.
You're complete.
Unless the board has questions or needs additional information.
Are you in agreement with our engineers and planners' review of your application?
Yes, I am. But I think, and I have no problem with Ms. McLernan's report. We would want the variances as requested for the 5 foot along the front to be deemed a rear and make it solid as opposed to a lattice, you know, half open, half closed. Because otherwise it sort of defeats the purpose of what we're doing to create the privacy buffer between the commercial development.
Okay, we're going to open up to the public at this point. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Again, anyone who wishes to make comment? Hearing no request or seeing no request, the public portion of this application is now closed. Board members, do you have any questions of our professionals or the applicant?
Mr. Chairman, I want to chime in. I did put it in a report, but back in 2007, the first revision to this redevelopment zone actually agrees that Frankfurt Avenue is more of a rear yard for this entire site and actually recommends at some point narrowing the roadway down to provide more off-street parking for these homes that are using this as a rear yard. So I'm not suggesting that we look at that now, but the reason I'm bringing that up is Frankfurt Avenue is indeed considered a rear yard at this location.
It functions, I'm going to go back to planning design stuff, neo-traditional design, where you have rear yards on an alley.
Right.
You access the properties from there.
It's a very wide
alley. That's a good thought.
Yeah.
I might want to take a look at something like that.
I think it's worth it.
But I think this doesn't bother me at all. I think with that, it is going to be a parking lot. The theater owns that vacant lot. They're going to build a parking lot there as soon as they clean it up. It's got some oil tanks there. Understandably, you don't want to look at that from your backyard, and you know you're on the fringe of a commercial area there. It's a great spot. You got Nucky's right next door, and movie theater, and Hoagie's at Wawa, and Mr. Gordo's. Can't forget that. Hopefully, Sacco's opens up soon. You're going to gain weight. just looking at it, I don't have an issue with it, especially on Frankfurt. It looks like the curb line is probably 10 or 12 feet from where this fence is going to be. So the sidewalk's really wide there, so it's not going to infringe on someone. Like they're walking down there, it's not going to be overpowering. So I don't have any issues with this application at all. And I think that the solidness of it, that's really on a corner lot. We look at that open fence.
If that's going to be a parking lot across the street with the light shining.
You want solid.
You want solid.
What I'm saying is we want open on a corner, because you got to look through it to see cars coming.
Right.
That's not the case here. So I don't have an issue with the solid fence here.
Right. Okay. At this point in time, Leo, if you could charge the board with a resolution for a vote, we'd appreciate it.
Okay. It's a C variance application. We're going to call it two C variances, one to allow a 5-foot-high fence in the front yard, where a 4-foot-high fence in the front yard is allowed. And then the other is the fence will be a solid fence, as opposed to, permitted is supposed to be 50% open. So we'll call those the two variances. We need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
Motion, please.
I'll make a motion.
Have a second, please.
Second.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote, and state your reasons, please.
Commissioner Langraff?
As I said, I don't have any issues with this application. I think it's a good solution for that parcel, so close to the commercial zone. It's an aesthetic improvement. Chain link fences have kind of gone by the wayside, and you want these more modern, easier to maintain fences. The privacy aspect of it, and I obviously no neighbors were here to object to it, so I don't think it's going to have a negative impact on the neighborhood. I think it'll be an asset to it. I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I agree with the comments so far. I also think if you look at the north side of Frankfurt in comparison, it's actually a more open space that this is creating. So I think for all the reasons that it cleans up that area, I'm in favor of that application.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of it. The street, Frankfurt Avenue, basically, and with the adjoining area, functions as an alleyway. And in addition to that, it's a wider street. It has a wide area buffer between the curb and the fencing itself. The fencing's in its exact location where it's going. Difference is the height, which is minimal or de minimis itself. And the solidness was actually helpful with the commercial district. Keep some of the noise down. Also, just peering and other people peering in the yard and so on, down a little bit of privacy. It makes sense with that location. So I am voting in favor.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
I also vote in favor of the application. The location of the site basically dictates why the variances are legitimate and warranted. I have to say, it's a great looking property, love it. The only thing I would say is, have you cemented that deal and marketed with your business? I think Vetner would enjoy having you come into our town.
It's a unique business that we're opening. It's an indoor cycling studio, and we looked all over the place. Sound becomes an issue, and we found a place where sound wasn't a concern.
Okay.
But we
okay. Thank you.
Good plug. Good plug.
But we wanted to.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I've always liked that area because of the way the properties lay out in the streets. It was excellent planning to have, where I grew up, we always had alleys, which were an adventure in itself. But this is more of a street than an alley. But it's served the same purpose for residents on either street of Weymouth and Hillside. So, and I think that, again, the area, it's a busy area. You sit, you buffer the a real busy zone there, commercial-wise, and you do get a lot of foot traffic up and down the streets there. So, the privacy factor, the fence doesn't really seem to be 1 foot, you know, on the park of the area, and you can build a higher fence. I don't have a problem with it. There's no residents that seem to have a problem either.
Peter Taco?
I'll also vote in favor of that for actually the reasons stated. I think for privacy, solid fence, 4-5 foot high is would be an asset to the property owner, and you know, also keep it a little more private.
Tim Coop?
I also vote in favor. Frankfurt really does function as a rear yard. That, with the location right close to the commercial district, it just makes sense, and it is an improvement. So, yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good luck to
thanks.
You.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you all for your time.
Thanks for choosing
sure. And welcome to the city. By the way, if nobody is, welcome to the city.
Thank you.
We love having you, and
I appreciate it. I honestly can't tell you how much we love it.
Right.
As I said, we weren't sure where we were going to end up, and we're thrilled that we ended up here. I just love it.
Good.
Thank you.
Take care. Next application is that of Louis Silverman, 110 South Surrey Avenue.
You're staying? Okay.
Mr. Bailenson is representing.
My name, all set?
Yeah, and then on, Chris, on this, Commissioner Kriebel and Landgraf weren't here last time, and then our next one's a D-variant, so...
I don't want anybody else to go through the whole thing again, so I don't mind if those guys...
You don't want to start all over?
Participate, right.
You don't want to start from scratch?
Come on, stay.
I mean, it's a pretty straightforward case, we have to...
Hey, it makes the night easy for me, I get to go home.
Yeah.
With that, Mr. Chairman, and...
You weren't here last time, right?
Yes, the second application is a use variance, so two of you cannot sit.
Third application.
So let the record reflect that, because of the use variance, and, they are not present, they are recusing themselves at this point, or not here by statute, and, are departing from the board. Gentlemen, thank you for appearing this evening.
See you.
We love having you.
Do you have anything to read into the record, or depart from these records?
Nothing, then. It's all on them.
I want them to explain what the board has to decide first, and before we get too far into this whole thing. I'll let him open up, then I'm going to do that.
Chris, could you do your swear-ins first?
Would you like to swear in the witness first? Before I say anything?
Yeah.
Before I say anything?
Yeah, right, do it.
Joe Slayton is architect with Marks & Wacky. Marks & Wacky's health on a, not on an acute basis, on a long-term basis, is preventing him from traveling right now.
Okay.
From what I understand.
And we'll get Mr. Slayton sworn real quick. If, just your name and business address, I'll get you sworn in.
Sure, it's Joe Slayton, S-L-A-T-O-N. Address, excuse me, address is 20 Lawrence Avenue, Barrington.
Right, sure.
Thank you. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight would be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Now, you are a licensed architect?
I took the exam in early 90s and have been licensed since, yes.
Boy, so you're licensed?
Yes.
Okay, you practice in New Jersey?
Correct.
Okay. So, we'll stipulate that your credentials are acceptable, and we'll
Thank
go from there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Chris Bailenson. I represent Silverman's with respect to continuation of this application from earlier in the month when a couple of board members had asked for a plan that was a little bit more definitive with respect to the location of the third floor deck and the dimensions of it. Now, I provided that plan. I'd be happy to go back over the case. I would really entertain questions. If anybody has any continued questions about that deck and its dimensions, I can certainly address those. But we went through it last month, we're beginning of the month pretty exhaustively.
Why don't you go through the plan?
Let me give you a synopsis of it.
Okay.
This is an application seeking a variance from that relatively recent ordinance that you guys have adopted with respect to third floor decks. Third floor decks are not allowed to protrude beyond the front envelope of the building. This particular house has a setback, required setback of 15 feet. Is actually set back 21 feet because that's the neighbors to the right, to the Atlantic Avenue side, are also set back 20 feet. So the thought process was, let's set back consistent with the neighbors so that we don't block them looking toward the ocean. Setting it back 21 feet also allows the decks to come forward and the third floor deck to come forward and still comply with the setback of 15 feet, which it does.
Is the deck supposed to be?
The alternative plan, which is a variance-free plan, would bring the first floor out to 15 feet. Not for you guys. If we brought the first floor out to 15 feet, that third floor deck would be conforming. But it was suggested in the building. No, Jay, shake your head.
Roger.
Would it be protruding past the envelope of the building?
My understanding, and Roger will clear this up right now, is the third floor deck is not, the way our ordinance is written, does not protrude past the principal wall of the structure.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So if the deck is out, the frontage of the deck is not guided, it's the principal wall that
You're
guides
suggesting it. Suggesting that's only around that the definition pertains to the third floor wall, not the overall house.
That's correct.
The building department didn't see it that way. The building department, when we presented that plan, would give us a building permit for that plan, but suggested that would not be the best plan for the neighborhood. The best plan for the neighborhood would be to put the entire building back 21 feet. And that's, that's where we're at, and that's why we're here.
Okay.
To do that deck, just like the next door neighbor has at his third floor, just like the next door neighbor has at his third floor, and just like the next door neighbor has at his third floor, they're completely consistent. So the variance is to allow that third floor deck with the consistency of the neighborhood, but also which meets the setbacks, the principal setbacks of the zone. I mean, we're not asking for anything that approaches you to a setback. It goes over the rest of the house. It's not sticking out past the second floor deck. It's not sticking out past the first floor deck. It's within that envelope. But because, like you said, Mr. Chair, because it extends beyond the face of the building.
Correct.
That's the variance.
Correct.
And the deck is only at a depth only 6 feet wide, 6 feet deep. It does not extend across the entire house. It extends across about two-thirds of the house on the beach side. And like I said, falls within the deck below, and within the deck below that. That's, you're not reading that ordinance every day and apply it every day. It's a little hard to understand, but essentially, we're asking to allow that deck to be 6 feet past the face of the building, but within all the setbacks. Consistent with the neighborhood that's side of the street. Now, Joe's here for questions, the builder's here for questions. We're ready to answer any questions you guys may have. So ready to go.
I do have questions.
Sure.
The application we're considering is the third proposal since 2019. All three proposals have had issues with the third floor deck.
Okay.
In September, the second proposal,
for different houses we're talking about, different properties under this ordinance provision.
Say it again?
Well, for different houses we're talking about, right?
No, just this one. This is the third application for this site.
Not that it's come before this board.
Well, before this board.
Not this house.
Not this house, but the third application.
Right.
So the question I would ask is, of the architect, because the original architect is not here, and I was going to ask him a bunch of questions.
Feel free to ask Joe those questions.
Okay. Is the design that now has been constructed, is it consistent with what was approved by the board in 2019?
Is it consistent with the ordinance?
With the other structure.
The plan. The resolution. We adopted
the other house.
We approved a house in 2019 for the site.
For this site?
For this site.
Okay, but a different house. Different set of plans.
So, new owner, new architect. My questions are, did the architect look at the resolution that this board adopted in 2019?
I can't answer that. I don't know that.
See, that's an important issue. Because resolution...
Swaggin told me, as far as I'm concerned, I don't even know he's aware.
Okay. In that resolution, when we looked at a bill, a proposal similar to what is now before us, in that resolution, we said the building should be 24 feet, not 21, 24, because that was consistent with all the houses to the right and to the left. I have to say you're incorrect in saying that they're 21 and consistent. The current construction is 3 feet beyond the sight line of all the houses to the right and to the left.
My understanding was, I looked at it, I was there, because they were 20 feet back, not 24 feet back. I don't know that.
The point being that we passed the resolution, we discussed that proposal in 2019 and requested that the building that is put up be consistent with all the houses to the right and to the left, and they're 24 feet from the street.
So when you're,
this house, this proposal...
What you're suggesting is our house should have been designed...
Should have been designed...
Consistent with somebody else's design, some other architect, and some other owner.
Correct. So the architect for this proposal should have looked at the resolution that we adopted for this site to make sure that what is being designed is consistent, not only with the regulations, but what the board adopted 3 years ago. Now, again, the point being, the other issue, and I'd like to talk to the architect, is it not common knowledge that architects consider site location, its characteristics, and integrate the design to fit in with the surroundings? Is that true? Okay.
If that's your intention, yes.
Yes.
Sometimes buildings are designed to be the opposite to stand out, but in this case, contextual vernacular is a common goal.
In my perspective as a planner, streetscape is an important feature, especially on a beach block, because people have decks, porches. You want to have a consistent view down the line. Here, you have a structure that is 3 feet into the street, towards the street, that now blocks some degree the houses to one side. The porches are 3 feet more than the other porches and decks on the street.
You asked me to respond to a hearing that took place in 2019.
The architect has a responsibility to follow through.
Do you know the dimensions of those houses to be 24 feet back? Do we know that? In fact, for a fact.
That was the topic.
When you looked at them, they all look 24 feet back. They all look relatively even.
It's a new plan.
We can go out there right now. We'll look straight out. That house sticks out. It sticks out. Does it stick out?
I cannot confirm that.
Okay. It sticks out. It's a fact. It sticks out.
It's still 6 feet behind the fire setback.
There's 44 more feet on the property that the whole house could have moved back.
Correct.
Which does not change the irregular language which states that the envelope and the deck relationship. So if I move it back 4 feet, it's still in non-compliance. If I move it back 20 feet, it's still non-compliance. It's still, it's, I'm sticking with the ordinance.
Therefore,
okay, I understand.
Pardon me a second. We're going to have to end this because, first of all, this is a new plan that's come out. The old plan was not built. So a new plan was built and was then put. We're evaluating the new plan.
And that new plan, and it should have considered what we adopted as a resolution for the site.
Whether they did
not consider that.
Whether they did or did not is an issue that is for the board. But let's move on. And
I was entertaining questions. Everybody else understands.
Yes.
Where we're at.
But this is a new plan. This is what they decided to do.
It's the same plan.
It's the same plan.
This is hopefully more clear.
No, it's okay.
But I want to make sure. I want to make sure that it's clear that this house and the decks and the porches are not consistent. Did not meet the same line as the other houses.
Well, okay, there was testimony that they were all in line or so on in here, so we'll have to evaluate that. Now let's go and get to the plan, and let's get your plan and explain it to the people what you want to do present, and make sure that everyone understands it clearly. And then we'll move on to this application.
Very well.
And then explain the purpose, and then break right into the third floor deck and explain your criteria for that, please.
Joe, would you kindly show on the plan that's been submitted, which all the construction details are taken out. Show the floor, where the third floor deck is located on the footprint of the building, what the setback to it is in the deck below.
On the third floor, the deck is 15 feet.
It
right here in the center, this highlighted.
Everybody's plan is actually highlighted.
Highlighted yellow?
Yes.
Yep.
It doglegs and turns down between the homes. The frontage along Surrey is about 26 feet 8 inches. The
depth of it.
The depth of it is 6 feet.
And what is the setback to the front property line?
Setback to the front property line is 15 feet. At the minimum.
And that conforms to the ordinance?
That does. The setback ordinance, yes.
Right. And the reason we are requesting a setback is because, according to Vetner's ordinance, that deck is not allowed to protrude beyond the leading wall of the building.
Correct.
And ours does.
Ours does.
But meets the setback otherwise?
Correct.
Now, alternatively, with this design, the building...
It does not meet the setbacks.
This may be open to interpretation. But the construction department allowed a plan for a building permit that brought the first floor out to 15.
Correct.
Which then the deck below could go to 15 because it was within the envelope of the building.
Correct.
I understand the difference between 3, 2, 1. I get that. But that's where we ended up with Mr. Agostino. That's That plan was before him, approved by him, suggested by him, that we had pulled that first floor back because that was not fair to the neighbors by any stretch of imagination. And that was done at all. This plan has gone through a couple of machinations to get where it is today in hopes of being as kind to the neighbors as we can be.
And again, the same relationship of the front leading edge to the front deck, if you move this building back 30 feet, you still have that same relationship, which would give them more light now.
Regardless of where the building sits on the lot, toward, from the front towards the back, the variance is still required for this deck to stick out from the front face of the house. No matter what.
So, quick question, Chris. Yes. When you got your zoning approval, it didn't have a third floor deck?
It had a third floor deck, but it had a first floor that came out to 15.
Okay.
So we're actually improving with this plan.
So at some point in time, you decided to bump that wall further in.
We suggested that we not bump it out, we bring it back. And it's probably easier to obtain a variance for that.
So you have your third floor deck and your wall of the building. You push this in, this creates a variance now.
Correct.
That's right. We took the first floor back to 21. So now the deck is beyond the leading edge of the building.
So just to kind of recap after the last meeting, there's some issues viewing the plans and understanding the plans, because Mark has subsequently revised the plans and highlighted and simplified the plans and supplied the information to the board members. My question to the board members, can you clearly see what they're doing now? I can. I think the revisions were very clear and concise to what the board was asking before. Dan, you all right with the plans? Does it show you what you need to see now?
Well,
I had no rendering tonight.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, but so this sticks out beyond where the other houses are, right? Or we don't know that.
We don't know that.
Okay.
So it does not extend beyond the building anymore.
Okay.
Is that correct? The third floor deck no longer is outside.
Yes.
The building.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. It is 6 feet past the principal wall.
Yes. Okay.
And the building is now set back 21 feet instead of 15 feet.
So
the building got moved. The building was originally at 15.
It could have been moved 3 more feet.
Well, doesn't matter. The building was at 15. They moved it to 21. If I'm correct in this, the original the deck of the third floor was at 15 feet, which was the principal wall. And then once they moved, the deck stayed the same spot, but they moved the house back 6 feet. So now it extends 6 feet past the principal wall. That's how it got this. That's how we got this to here. That's exactly
sorry,
the process that occurred.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Try to explain as best I can.
Okay.
I get it.
Does everyone understand? That's what happened, and that's how we got here. Now, what is the size of this? What is the size of the second floor deck in width? What is the width of the second floor deck?
It's the width of the house.
What's the width of the house?
Yes.
What is it?
Right.
Number.
What's the width of the house?
39 feet 4.
Yeah. Right.
39 feet 4. And the second floor and the third floor deck is 26.
Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. With only a section of that being covered.
Pardon me?
With only half of that being covered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have looked at other decks at some point in time, up on the beach block, up on the boardwalk and so on, and we've kind of talked about being 50% of the decks below. So that becomes a question. So that would be about around 20 feet. Versus 26.
Okay.
So that's been discussed in other applications that we've dealt with third floor decks on, and people have worked with us on that.
Okay.
So I'm bringing that up just as from history that before the board.
We were just trying to work with the ordinance, understand the ordinance, work with the ordinance.
Right.
The limited width.
So just proceed ahead with.
We got told that. Right.
Well.
I understand what you're saying.
Just proceed ahead. Please proceed.
So the second and first floor decks are approximately 11 feet proud of the building envelope as well.
11 feet deep?
11 feet deep, correct.
So the third floor deck is 6 feet deep, the decks below are 11 feet, so it's 12
feet. It's half the density, basically half the depth
front depth
of the other decks, okay.
I'm not going to keep repeating myself. If anybody has a question, I'll be happy to deal with it.
So how's this third floor deck compare to other third floor decks on this block?
Very similar.
Very similar?
In terms of, there are others, I believe, that are extending the width of the building.
Correct.
So, meaning larger?
Yes, this is diminutive, yeah.
Do they extend beyond the building?
Yes.
They all do?
Yes.
Yes.
On the back of the exhibit here, we have photos of neighboring houses, which, one here.
For us?
It goes across.
Directly next door to the right, Atlantic Avenue side extends across the front of the house.
As
on the right side of that, I don't know, but.
No, the right side does also.
Okay. I'm sorry, it's two of them. Extends across the front and around the side.
Mm-hmm. How many other decks extend beyond the house? Do you know, have a count of
hand? They all extend beyond the face of the house.
The majority of the
third
majority,
floor decks.
Yes, the majority.
A count, a number of third
three
floor.
Three others on the block that extend beyond the face of the house.
There's more than that. There's across the street extends beyond as well.
So the new construction on the corner is the same scenario.
I saw that today, yeah, same deal.
Yeah.
I think that would
lower
both walls beyond
further. I think it'd be
IS. It's consistent with the neighborhood look.
All right. Okay.
I'm open. I mean, I guess I'm not going to keep repeating myself to convince you. I mean, try to talk you into it, but the plan is what it is. I hope it's more clear. I hope you guys find for the silver building that it's okay.
So in order to create a better view corridor for the neighbors, put the wall back, but kept the deck where it was.
That's right.
Correct.
That's right. It'll be a glass railing. It'll be a glass railing for a few foundation. It's only covered in a limited portion of the deck. I mean, this was the plan that really was suggested here in this building, that first floor wall be pulled back for deference to the neighbor. That was kind of guided this application, and here we are. It would have been easier and we would have been further along and we just stuck with that plan when the building was out. But the whole thing was going back for a test. It's 21 feet rather than 15 feet. So, you know, this building could be 15 feet back.
Which still won't change the relationship of the deck to the main envelope.
And the deck would be, you get a permit for the deck. If this building was a 15 feet first and second floor, you get a permit for the vertical deck. And not need to be here. That was kind of the trade-off. You know, the trade-off was, fine, we'll pull the house back, be tied to the street,
right.
We have to get some variance for the deck. Otherwise, the house was designed to accommodate third floor deck without a variance.
Right.
There you have it. That was my convincing pitch.
So that would push that third floor deck all the way in the back, which would intrude on the neighbors to the sides.
It would have to be a solid wall next to the neighbors. Right. It would be a substantial detriment. Thank you.
How about the width of the deck?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing more to add.
Okay. Any other questions of the applicant? I'm going to open up to the public at this point. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment?
All right, Mr. Silver, we swore you in last time. This is a continued application, okay? So you're still under oath.
Well, okay. Thank you. Mark Silver, 112 South Surrey.
We understand this is not another opportunity to speak. I know that's what we spoke about. Last time we're here, this is whatever related to the new plan.
I'll keep it to the SK drawings that you had sent, okay, and to correct some of the misinformation that was just said. First of all, I'd like to give this to the board. This is my resume. It's old. I couldn't find my construction resume, but I'd like you to qualify me as an expert witness.
We're not qualifying you as an expert witness, sir.
May I ask why?
Because you licensed and have credentials now?
I have credentials.
Are you practicing?
Pardon me?
Are you practicing?
Am I practicing? I do expert testimony.
Okay. Well, you submit it, and then we'll see. We'll have to look at
so
it.
I can't ask for more than that.
Yeah. But that's all. But it may take some time.
That is fair.
Okay.
And understand, all this is about is rather than public comment, I want this to be an opinion.
Right.
That's really what this is about.
Thank you.
First of all, I listened to this gentleman, and he brought back a lot of memories because I was part of that whole testifying and that nightmare. And you are right. And you refreshed my memory. Okay? Let me give you a history first. I wasn't going to do this. I had a thing prepared. But let me give you a history of South Surrey Avenue. The first house on the street was built 1922, and it happened to be 110 South Surrey Avenue, owned by John Wanamaker, but the first cousin of the famous John Wanamaker. There was no boardwalk, there was no bulkhead, it was the beachfront property. When my wife and I moved in 9 years ago, we met the owner, John Conway. I've been in the house. I know what was there. All the homes on the block lined up. His home was 23 feet 6 inches from the property line. My home is 23 feet 6 inches from the property line. 108 is 23 feet 6 inches from the property line. 106 is 23 feet 6 from the property line. And 104 is 26 feet 6 inches from the property line. Now, we don't have a ground floor. We start with the first floor. We don't believe we're in Europe. So, our decks all extend on the first floor to 15 feet, all in a line. There's a little bit of a difference because of stairwells, because 106 is another foot or 2 feet higher, so he needs a couple of extra steps. Okay? 108, 106, and 104 are all at 15 feet.
Well, stop it, Mr. Silver. Let's go one thing. The structure is built already here. We're discussing a third floor deck in itself. So you can make your comments, but I'd like you to focus on what about the third floor deck. This is what this hearing is about. So,
well, it was my understanding, and you'll have to...
You'll keep your comment. You're making some good comments, but...
It's my understanding, and you can correct me, that based on comments at the last hearing where I was, new drawings were presented. And based on those new drawings, I have questions and comments. And just because, and I will defer to you, Mr. Chairman.
Clarify the new drawing. It's the same drawing. It's construction details removed from it. So it's more clear. Right. It's the same drawing.
It is not the same drawing. And I can point to many changes on that drawing. Okay? You changed the lot coverage. Okay? You did a number of changes in there. But my question is, while at the last hearing you talked about third floor decks, and now we're back again, if there are other major variances which were not discussed, but if I bring them to your attention tonight, why are they not relevant?
Not relevant.
I'm asking. I'm asking you why they should not. Why aren't they relevant?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. So you'll have to. If there's a variance, you bring it up and you tell us about it. Otherwise,
because
we don't know.
This board started the conversation about houses in line, and I heard what Mr. Balanson said, and I've known Mr. Balanson for how long?
20 years.
Yeah, when you had dark, more than that. How do you like that? And he did my home, and he only got an 8-1. Yeah, 8-1 decision in my favor, not 9-0. So, the fact is, on the other side of the street is North Beach, a different zoning. So they don't really count. We are R1. Our decks all line up at 15 feet. What this home did, and then I'm going to get to the third floor, and I'm going to be honest, but I want to frame the issue first. This home decided to bring their deck out to 7 feet from the property line. Piles were driven, and the neighbors went crazy because our entire, my view of Atlantic Avenue was blocked, their view of the beach ocean was blocked. Why else do you want to be on the beach block? Look, I didn't.
Wait. Stop one second here. Is the setback according to your plot plan in the survey 15 feet from the property line? It's not 7 feet. The survey says it's set 15 feet. There's a survey, but a licensed survey.
Mr. McLaren's report shows an existing setback permitted at 7 feet.
What is the setback of the build of the deck today? Is that what
no.
the plot plan shows?
No.
15 is the third floor.
No. Why can't I talk without being interrupted?
Wait, Mr. Sol, wait, let him talk. But I want to clear this issue up. Is according to a survey, do you have a survey that shows it's 7 feet?
No, I have reports that the architect shows it's 7 feet and the original plans show 7 feet was where the deck was coming out. But if I can finish, I will explain it.
Please do.
Thank you. Come on, Chris. So they drilled the piles at 7 feet and the neighbors went berserk. The plans were approved at 7 feet. Jimmy Agostino came in and immediately said, you can't build at 7 feet. He then said, although the zoning chart shows 15 feet, code 102.118.2b permits an exception, I believe it's under additional regulations, to bring the first floor deck out 5 feet so that it can be at 10 feet. So you're allowed to bring the deck out to 10 feet. And that's what Mr. Agostino told me. He pointed me right to the code. Now, the home may be at 15 feet. So you could have the front structure of the home at 15 feet, the deck at 10 feet, but you only get a 5 foot deck. So what they did was a 5 foot deck is essentially useless. So they moved the house back to 21 feet 6 inches, giving them an 11-foot deck. That's why it was done, because under the code, if they tried to move that house to the 15-foot building property line, you get 5 feet. And when you take out for the railing, the deck is useless. Now, let me bring this into the code, because that's where the problem has a major problem. If you actually read the definitions of deck and porch under the Ventnor code, it specifically says deck and single story porch. It does not permit multi-story porches. You want me to cite? I have it here, the code section. But that's exactly what it says. Multi-story porches. 102-118.2b exceptions. The code defines in specificity a deck and a porch. The approved construction plans and the SK drawings submitted on 11-16-22 show multiple story porches. That is not permitted under the code. You get a deck and single story porch. Okay, that's the first thing. Now, that is probably what the neighbors object to so vehemently. Okay. Once I spoke to today, 108 and 106 South Surrey Avenue, it's that porch that's blocking the views. And he's not entitled to a multi-story deck. Now, let me take a break for a second because I don't want to insult Chris. All we're asking for, and we've never gotten, is a meeting with the architect, and respectfully, you didn't draw the plans, did you? You didn't draw the plans, did you?
I'm not drawing the plans. What's the plan?
Yeah. So I, we'd like to meet and try to settle this thing. It's settleable, but nobody will meet with us. They are breaching the code. I can stand here tonight, and you'll object, and I have six more major code violations, which I don't want to go through. The biggest one is, though, and we're ready to settle everything to get our, their view back and my view of Atlantic Avenue. But if you want to do a simple exercise, and I'm prepared to do it tonight, and Roger can do it for me, calculate the house structure lot coverage. And you're going to find, when you calculate it, it's at 42.7. When you're only permitted 44.2, excuse me, when you're only permitted 35%, it's 577 feet overbuilt. How can he have a home 577 feet overbuilt? How it's done is you just blow out the deck as far as you can, you make the biggest house you can, and you say, to hell with the neighbors. And that's what happened here. Either that deck's got to go, the front and rear deck's got to go, or that house has to be consolidated to, you know, to bring it into a 35% the Ventnor code. And that should be taken up. And I'm willing to sit here with Roger now and do, I have the computations, but I brought my architect to scale, and I'll do the computations with you, and that house is too big. Let me go even further. No, I want to make a point how certain I am of this. When the SK drawings came out, and don't get me on a roll because I know these plans better than the architect. That's why I wanted to be shown as an expert in this. And respect. No, let me finish. No, Bishop. Great question. I'll answer it. On three occasions in the past 3 years, for the last project that you spoke of, and I did it twice over the last 10 days, I rode every block in St. Leonard's, I think it's from Cambridge to Surrey, up and down on the beach block. Every home had a single story porch with a deck on top, except for several homes. So I knocked on a couple doors. I don't care. And I said, how did you get these decks? One happens to be the guy who's the president, Bill Sill, of the St. Leonard's. I said, how did you get this multi-story deck? He said it came with the house. It was built 1922.
Wait. We're not going through the
city.
But wait.
Let me explain, and Roger can explain the multi-story deck, because it's at 15 feet, not at 10 feet. Right, Roger?
Mr. Silver?
Pardon me?
Can I ask Roger this? I have a multi-story deck, right? This is what Jimmy Agostino explained to me. My deck is at 15 feet, correct?
Your setback is 15 feet?
My deck is at 15 feet from the property line.
Okay.
My first and second floor deck. I want to answer this question because it's important. He hit it right on the nose. The applicant's deck, which is multi-story just like mine, is at 10 feet. That's the rub. He doesn't get the multi-story deck because it's at 10 feet. The code doesn't permit it. That's what I was told by Jimmy Agostino.
I disagree with that.
Well, then we've got to...
I'm going to tell you what, Mr. Silver. You can state your point regarding these decks and sell it, this particular property. And we're not going to go through a lineage of the city, the history of the city. I want you to focus on this property, on the third floor deck here, and your testimony there. And that's it. Now, you're making a lot of claims. Roger deals with this stuff all the time, has the up-to-date things. Now, if he said, he's just made a comment that he does not agree with you.
Could you be specific? No, I just want to understand what he said. I have the right to say.
I'll read the section.
Please do.
102-118.3, additional regulations, section B, projections in the front yard setbacks by decks and single-story porches shall be limited to 5 feet. Projection, not setback, projection. Provided that the principal building is currently conforming to the current front yard requirement.